Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Fourth and final hour. Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5. The game on this Monday afternoon. Man, first 3 hours flying by. Titans get it done in Foxborough. They beat the Patriots. Next up, the Ravens. Saturday night, 7:15 kickoff our time. And it's going to create some matchups for those who have been here for a while, like me. Man, these were the matchups. And that's what started this conversation with our next guest, Gary Stein from Monumental Sports Network. I think it was in 2000. Yeah, the year 2000 is the first conversation we had Gary Stein on. And he was talking about the Ravens and the Titans. And we ended up having Gary on the whole run as the Ravens went all the way to the Super Bowl and won it all. And we were like, who in the heck is this guy coming on with all this Baltimore propaganda? But I'll tell you what, 20 years later, we're still talking to Gary Stein in Baltimore.
Dude, can you believe it? Where did that 20 years go?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, it'd take too long to answer that one, Gary.
A lot's happened, my friend.
Yeah, good to talk to you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too.
We got the matchup, right? I mean, it's going to happen again. Titans, Ravens, playoffs.
I mean, just like you said, Darren, this used to be when they were in the same division. Remember, it was three divisions in each conference, and this was the Central Division. And Titans, Ravens, I think back in the day, Titans, Ravens was probably equal to Steelers, Ravens, maybe even more, because we always seemed to meet at critical junctures in the season and or the playoffs.
The game against the Steelers and the game against the Ravens in this market, it did not get any bigger back then.
No.
I mean, those were the games. When those two teams came to town, it was going to be a very, very tough ticket for you to get in into the building. That's just
and
the way
you know
it was.
What? I really feel like this game on Saturday night is going to be just like those knock them down, drag them out, slobber knocker, Titan, Ravens, Titan, Steelers, Steelers, Ravens type of games from those days.
So it's been a long time. We've been talking about this matchup a lot today. And, I mean, Baltimore hasn't lost since the first month of the season when they went back-to-back weeks with losses. I mean, those came in September, Gary. I mean, just give us a little bit. You've seen this team up close and personal. Obviously, they could score at will. Lamar Jackson has been quite the story, but they've got all kinds of weapons. They've scored 40 or more points, I think, six times this year, including the first game of the season when they hung 59 on Miami. What have you seen? What can you tell us about this Ravens team?
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that because, yes, they score a bunch of points, you know, the 40 points plus that you talk about, over 500 points for the season. And you would think in a situation like that, that the team that's doing all that scoring is a quick strike, you know, flashy, big play, chunk play type of offense that just grabs, you know, four plays, 75 yards, a minute 15 off the clock, and boom, they're in the end zone. And you would support that by some of these great majestic runs that Lamar Jackson has had, which I'm sure everybody has seen on tape. The spin move against Cincinnati, the 57-yard touchdown run, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And that wouldn't be untrue. But the larger truth of this team, Darren, is that this is a long drive, very structured type of offense that can just as easily go 15 plays, 85 yards, 8 minutes and 41 seconds, and knock the will out of you. And that's really what this team is about. Yes, they have big playmakers. Yes, Lamar Jackson is probably, along with Patrick Mahomes, two of the greatest playmakers in the game right now. But for the most part, at the end of the day, this is a power-running, downhill, one-cut, slap you in the face and see what you can do. And that's what their plan is going in against Tennessee.
Gary, we were texting back and forth yesterday, and I told you what the opening line was. I think it's come down now, but it started off at 10. I think it's 9, 9.5. You seem surprised. I know it was a text, but you seem surprised by that number. Why?
I just don't. It's the playoffs, and I think the Tennessee is very similar to Baltimore. I mean, I would give Baltimore the edge at quarterback, not any disrespect to Ryan Tannehill, because he has had a tremendous comeback. In fact, he may be the comeback player of the year, probably should be the comeback player of the year. But I just feel like Tennessee, out of all the teams to come out of wild card weekend, is probably actually matches up best against Baltimore. I think Tennessee is a big threat on Saturday night. I don't see this as a 10 or 12 or 17 or whatever point game. This isn't a 41-7 pasting of the Houston Texans that the Ravens put on them. This isn't a 37-20 pasting of the Patriots that the Ravens put on them. This is probably a 20-17, 23-20, 17-14 game. I don't see it any much different. I think they're very similar. I think the Titans are going to try to control the clock, and they certainly have the firepower and the type of offense with which to do that. I think this is a battle of attrition. I don't think this is a wild 37-25 game. I see it totally the opposite from the way these odds makers are seeing it.
We're talking to Gary Stein from Monumental Sports Network in Baltimore, and you were mentioning Lamar Jackson earlier. I mean, we know how important he is to the offense, but I look at an addition they made this year to the backfield in Mark Ingram, 202 carries. I mean, he's somebody you have to respect as well. If you're Dean Pease and the Titans, you know, how do you try and respect Mark Ingram?
Well, and he's coming off a calf injury. Looks like he will play, but you never know. You know, Darren, you talk about propaganda. You never know about the propaganda coming out of any of these teams' mouth as they lead up to playoffs. But it's a good point. Mark Ingram, to me, epitomizes what the Ravens are this year. He runs like he is mad, and he'll run it like that every play. And I wouldn't stop Chase at Mark Ingram. I would go Mark Ingram, I would go Gus Edwards, and I would go the fullback in front of him, Patrick Ricard. 6'2", 303 pounds, he's a two-way player, plays on the D-line, has a couple sacks this year, and oh, by the way, he creates holes for the running backs. And that's what I was getting to in my earlier comment about this team that just drives the length of the field and pounds it down your throat. That's really who the Ravens are. They just happen to have a very athletic quarterback who can change things up that probably makes them even more powerful when you think about it in terms of that slobber knocker type of rushing attack that they want to come to the game with.
Gary, we've been gushing all year long here in Nashville about rookie wide receiver A.J. Brown going over 1,000 yards, probably offensive rookie of the year if I had to guess. But you guys have a wide receiver there in Marquise Hollywood Brown that has been no slouch as well. And I know Mark Andrews has led the way with receiving yards, but what have you seen out of Hollywood Brown?
You may be surprised by this comment, but I think A.J. Brown is totally over Hollywood Brown, to be honest with you. I think, actually, A.J. Brown is the key to this game. If A.J. Brown can get into that secondary and make some plays, it opens up the middle of the field and opens up the defense that they can't just stack the box and try to negate Derrick Henry. I think that A.J. is probably, you're right, he along with D.K. Metcalf, but probably, you know, rookie of the year, top two. I think he's the key to this game. I think Hollywood Brown is a very good weapon. There's no doubt about it. But he's a different type of receiver. He's slight. He has difficulty when they jam him getting off the line of scrimmage. He made most of his big plays, to be honest with you, against teams that have lesser talent. I mean, he made his big splash against Miami. So what? Everybody made their big splash against Miami. That didn't really prove a whole hell of a lot. And he's not the key to the offense. Yeah, he could take the top off the defense. There's no question about it. But again, I get back to that comment. This is a 5 to 15 yard team. Mark Andrews, Hayden Hurst, the running backs, you know, Seth Roberts had some big receptions during the course of the year. So did Willie Snead. I think A.J. Brown's influence on the Titans offense is much more distinct than Hollywood Brown's is on the Ravens offense.
You've covered the Baltimore Ravens for a long time. You know Dean Pease and everything he accomplished there as the defensive coordinator. I have said on this show that I think that was the smartest hire that Mike Vrabel made, was getting Dean Pease to come out of retirement and run the defense. Why has this worked in 2 years for the Titans and Dean Pease running that defense?
He's so experienced, guys, as you well know. He's coached under some of the best coaches. I'm sure the experience that he had under Belichick, I wouldn't say it shaped his career because he had a lot of experience before that, but I think it just extenuated his career. It made him even, of a greater defensive mind. He's just very good, and it's weird because, this defense was terrific under Dean Pease, no doubt about it. It's gotten actually even better under Wink Martindale, just a little bit more aggressive, the blitzing. I'm sure you're well aware of the amount of blitzes the Ravens use, the percentage of plays that they blitz with. That's very un-Dean Pease-like. But Dean had a great way of just adapting to his talent. Very cerebral coach. Always put his players in the best positions. Really happy to have known Dean Pease for the years that he was in Baltimore. A little surprised that he came out of retirement so quickly. But again, you talk about Vrabel. I think Vrabel has been terrific. And when a guy like Vrabel, his pedigree, their relationship that they had in New England comes calling, and you have a chance to mold that defense and be part of something special with that team down in Tennessee, I think you take it. And I think Dean Pease had more to give. And that's why he took that job. And it was, as you say, a great hire for Tennessee.
Last one for me. I don't think it's an if. I think it's a when. And when do you think it'll happen that Greg Roman becomes a head coach in the National Football League?
I don't think it's a fait accompli that he's going to do it this year, to be honest with you. I think that the Ravens have a way, not all the time, but they have a way of extending coaches' contracts to keep them where they are. It's probably well known that most players and most coaches that come through Baltimore love their time here. And I think that, I don't think it's a fait accompli. I think that Greg Roman is most successful when he can implement the offense that he likes to implement, when he has the talent that allows him to do that. And I'm talking about, the Colin Kaepernicks of the world, the Tyrod Taylors even of the world, and now the Lamar Jacksons. Those types of quarterbacks don't grow on trees. And so I think Greg Roman will be very circumspect. He'll be very cautious about what that next job exactly is for him, because obviously he wants to succeed like we all do, and I just don't think that he can succeed anywhere in the NFL. The system has to be to his liking and right for what he likes to do.
I know this. You've gotten a lot smarter over 20 years. Man, you're throwing out these big words on this show.
Yeah, only when I come on in Tennessee, believe me.
What's the weather going to be like on Saturday? I know there's a long ways until Saturday, but what do they think it's going to look like?
Right now they're calling for rain, which we're used to. We had a monsoon against San Francisco. We had another monsoon a couple of weeks ago. I forget who the opponent was. Pittsburgh, actually. So it could slow things down. The field was not in good shape at all against the Steelers. Hopefully it'll be in better shape because there's been a couple of weeks here now. But that's what they're calling for right now. It's supposed to snow tomorrow, actually, and it's supposed to be kind of wet and wild the rest of the week. But like you say, there's 4 or 5 days to go before game time. That could certainly change.
Long ways to go. As we wrap this up, Gary, I've got good news that you can pass along to the folks in Baltimore. While the Titans have had lots, and I mean lots, of kicking woes this season, good news for you guys, just so you know, some breaking news here. They have not signed Gary Anderson for this game, so he will not be there in Baltimore.
Wow. And Darren, I don't know if you remember this or not, but do you remember the unsportsmanlike conduct penalty on Orlando Brown late in that game that snuffed out that Ravens drive and gave the ball back to Tennessee, which allowed them to get in position for that field goal? And Orlando Brown's son, Orlando Brown Jr., is actually on this team, and we talked about it the other day with him, and he was like, yeah, I'll never forget, man. My dad was not, it wasn't a good week around the Brown household in terms of that.
Wow, good stuff. Man, memory lane. Always appreciate it, Gary. Thanks so much. Enjoy the game, and I'm sure we will talk soon.
I can't wait for it, Darren, and it's so good to be with you guys. Thank you so much.
All right, Gary Stein up in Baltimore. He is fantastic. I love my guy. 20 years ago we started talking. I'm telling you, he's tamer now. Back then, like, Willie and I were just like, who in the heck is this guy? Because after they beat the Titans, I mean, every week we would have him on, and he was like, Ravens are winning this game. Ravens are going to the Super Bowl. They're going to beat the Raiders. They're going to the Super Bowl. They're playing the Giants. They're going to win the Super Bowl. It's done. I'm just telling you. I'm like, who is this guy? How dare he come on these airwaves and say that stuff?
Well, I know one thing.
He was right.
Yeah, he was right. He called it. And I know when I saw this matchup, I'm like, this is going to be a fun week. on the show because all the guests we're going to get going down memory lane, because I can tell you this is just the beginning.
I forgot about the Orlando Brown play in that game, but I'll never forget Gary Anderson because Gary Anderson, they plucked him off the what was he on the,
he's
the
on
river?
He was on the couch.
Fishing.
He was fishing. My favorite.
Pulled him out of retirement. He gets the game winner in Baltimore.
You did the show with Derek Mason for a long time. And what is a position that D-Mace gives him PTSD doesn't like?
He does not like kickers.
He does not like kickers.
He does not believe
however,
they are humans.
However, there was a picture hanging in Nissan Stadium.
In fact, he used to tell us their lives don't matter.
Well, but this one does.
I think he's changed his stance.
There is a picture hanging in Nissan Stadium in the press box of D-Mace
hugging,
giving a bear hug to Gary Anderson. And so I brought that up to him, and he goes, no, Gary's not a kicker. Gary's my guy.
You know what that is? That's called a hypocrite.
A little bit.
You know?
A little bit.
Because we had proof that he was a hypocrite.
We did. There are
it's over at
kickers,
Nissan Stadium.
There are a couple kickers that he doesn't like, but Gary Anderson's one of them.
We will come back. More on the other side. Good stuff, as always, from Gary Stein. You're listening to Darren, Donick, and Chase on ESPN 102.5 The Game. What do you think? What do you think of where the Titans are coming into this matchup? How do you feel as opposed to this time last week? Obviously a little bit different feeling with the Patriots and the Ravens, even though the Patriots had earned the respect of what they've done over the last two decades. It had been a decade since they had ever played in the wild card round. They were always sitting there with a bye. So they had earned massive respect, but everybody's definitely feeling a little bit different. I was a little surprised at how Gary Stein downplayed. Usually he is feeling it on the Ravens side. Low scoring, considering what the Ravens have done.
Yeah.
What did he say? Did he say 23-17? Did I hear that?
That was right. And look, that caught me off guard because I feel like both of these offenses, the way that they've played this season, could put up points. But I guess he's feeling that the defenses are going to come into play, which, look, I'm fine with that. I think if you're the Titans, obviously you want to keep that score around there.
You have to do what the Vikings did yesterday against the Saints. I mean, that's the only chance you have on the road. You have to keep it down. If it's 38-35, Vikings aren't winning that game against New Orleans. And everybody knows if they get in a shootout with Baltimore, they're going to lose. It can't be a shootout. Let's talk to Chris. Chris has been waiting patiently. What's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. So I feel good about where the team is right now. Although, you know, as we try to advance each game, we're going to be a heavy underdog. But I just want you to give me your assessment on Tannehill's first playoff game. To me, it's a good thing he didn't have to put the team on his back because at times he looked kind of shaky. It was his worst game as a Titan. The interception he threw up for grabs and the two fumbles could have cost the team the game.
Yeah, no doubt. Is that it? We'll talk about it. I mean, look, did he light the world on fire in Foxborough? No, he didn't. But I'll say what I said earlier. When there was a critical play on the line, a critical third down conversion, what was it, third and six, seven? Mm-hmm. What was it?
Are you talking about the Firkser play?
Yeah.
I think it was like third and seven.
Third and seven is what I was thinking. That's a big play on the road late in the game. Third and seven. And he hits Firkser right at the sticks for a first down.
This is where you have to be careful. And I understand, Titans fans, I get it. You don't maybe look at things as much as we do and trying to get numbers and stuff, and that's totally cool. But you can't just look at the box score and let that tell you the whole story, especially with Tannehill. I mean, you didn't need him. Derrick Henry was being effective. That was the offense.
34 carries.
He accounted for 74% of the Titans' offense in the win Saturday night.
Do you realize the Patriots had six guys carry the football?
Yeah.
Six guys. I mean, that's not Tom Brady. He didn't have any rushes. Six guys. You know how many carries those six guys combined had? for New England?
98. Or many carries?
Carries.
22 carries.
22 carries. Derrick Henry carried the ball alone 34 times.
Mm-hmm.
The entire Patriots backfield, six different guys, carried it 22 times.
Yeah. And
you
look,
didn't need your quarterback.
And the two big catches or big passes that Tannehill made, obviously the touchdown to Firkser, the third down play. But, oh, by the way, Derrick Henry had a 22-yard reception
big
out of the backfield. That was huge.
One. Yep.
That was absolutely huge. And just that's just how it was Saturday night. Now, the game plan is probably going to be different to beat Baltimore. I mean, Baltimore has now gotten an extra game to look at Derrick Henry. They know that he's the offense. But as we brought up with Teron Davenport, this is where you have to give credit to Derrick Henry. And I'll give props to the offensive line. They've gone up against teams that are in the top five rush defense this year, and it hasn't slowed him down. It hasn't stopped
Although
him.
I would have liked to have seen him go up against the Saints.
I would agree.
The Bucs were good. The Saints are good. What was it, the Saints? Did I hear them say yesterday they haven't given up a 100-yard rusher in like 40-something games?
About 45 games, yep.
Yeah.
And they dodged a bullet yesterday. Dalvin Cook ran for 96.
He was
on pace for about 120 in that first half.
He had a nice game. So you have to wonder if Derrick Henry was in that game. Did it change anything?
The Bucs actually did, and they were the number one rush defense, and they did. They were able to hold him in check. That was way back earlier in the year, and that was Mariota, right? That was still Mariota starting, no?
No.
That was Tannehill's first start, wasn't it?
I think that is right.
But the Bucs did a good job. I wanted to see him against the Saints, even though the hamstring was in. Look, they did the right thing. I don't know. The Ravens is going to be a huge test, but, I mean, you could tell very, very early on.
I mean, Derrick Henry rushed for 75 yards against the Bucs.
That's holding him in check.
How
many carries did he have?
16.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not your typical Derrick Henry day,
but
75 yards.
That's a win for the Bucs.
Yeah.
If anybody holds Derrick Henry to 75.
No touchdowns.
You know what I said? Remember what I said Friday when we had the pick six? I said, if you're calling, because somebody called in, by the way, and said our category was Derrick Henry rushing yards. A, 99 yards or less. B, 100 to 149 yards. C, 150 or more yards. Some guy called in and said 154 and double top shelf it.
Yeah.
Over 150.
Yeah.
Double top shelf it. And I said, if he wins that, if you pick C, you might as well go on and pick the Titans, too, because they're winning the game.
Well, and that's exactly what they
did. If he rushes for over 150 yards, they're winning the game. And clearly that played out.
I watched the game Saturday night with Marquise and Ricky, and they knew about pick six, so they knew what was on the line and what I had picked. And when he got to that 100-yard mark, I just looked at them and I said, yeah, he's going over a buck 50.
Oh, you mean by half?
Yeah. I was like, that's totally happening. That was a bad pick by me. And everyone.
Willie, I think, did a top shelf. I think that's
William.
Did he not?
William did. He did not top shelf it, but he picked A. You and I picked B. His top shelf was the Titan. He went Titans
okay.
top shelf.
I thought he went top shelf. Elijah, you said you would have done 99 yards or less, right?
Oh, yeah. And I probably would have top shelved it, too. I was pretty confident that the Patriots were going to game plan like exclusively on Derrick Henry and do the Belichick thing of take away what you do best, but didn't happen.
No. And you could tell, by the way, you could tell early on. What was his first three carries? He already had like 32 yards rushing in his first three carries. I'm like, oh, boy. I knew 99 and under was not going to win.
No.
I still thought we had picked the right one, 100 to 149. I think we both took that. I thought that's what was going to happen. But I'll tell you what, you could just tell early on. Like Derrick Henry was so many chunk plays on the Patriots. And everything he was doing, he was falling forward. I mean, I don't even remember. I remember very few runs that weren't at least like 4 yards.
Yeah. I mean, he was just.
What did he average? 5.5 yards a carry?
DH 22, yeah, 5.4.
Yeah, 5.5 yards a carry.
So 20, and his longest run was 29 yards on the day. I mean, look, he just, even less than 100%, which I know is silly to say, but with the hamstring, you have to think that way. I mean, back-to-back weeks over 30 carries, he's feeling it right now.
Yep. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Don't forget Wednesday night, Smashville Live out in your neck of the woods there, Chaser.
Probably a good thing I'm hosting it then.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Bellevue, Brewhouse.
Bellevue!
Wow. Man.
Represent.
So you hate on Whataburger, and then all of a sudden I say Bellevue, and you
represent the west side.
I was going to say Kevin Durant, but that's not who I was talking about. Kevin Garnett.
Kevin Garnett. Everything is possible.
Yeah.
Somebody disagreed with me on my Whataburger take.
How dare them? Read. How dare them?
That's all right.
Yeah, somebody did. And somebody agreed with you, too.
Yeah, but we got a text.
You got to agree. You got to disagree.
Mm-hmm.
Smashville Live. You want to tell people about it in your backyard?
Yeah, we'll be there at the Brewhouse 100, Highway 100 there in Bellevue, 98 Highway 100. We'll start at 7 o'clock. Ida and Julie. Of course, Ida, the wife of Matthias Ekholm. Julie, the wife of Kyle Turris. They have their podcasts. So we will be having them and looking forward to it. So come on out again, 7 o'clock at the Brewhouse on Highway 100 in Bellevue.
7 to 8, Wednesday night. Go out there in Bellevue. This should be a lot of fun. Those Smashville Live shows are brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Yeehaw Brewing Company, and Red Spirits and Wine. Good trip to Southern California. I know that they didn't get the 2 points last night against the Ducks, but they did beat Los Angeles Saturday night 4-1, and they lost in a 5-round shootout to Anaheim last night. They had a lot of bodies out of the lineup. Not that that's an excuse, because a lot of teams have been dealing with injuries. This is what happens when you get to the midway point of the year. But no Matt Duchene over the weekend. He was dealing with an injury or an illness. So he missed both games. Dante Fabbro, we learned that after the Winter Classic, dealing with an upper body injury, he missed both games. We already know Ryan Ellis was on IR. Colton Sissons has been on IR. So they've got a lot of familiar names and faces out of lineup. Dan Hamhuis didn't play last night, so you had guys like Jared Tenorti. Carrier played, although he didn't play very much, played less than nine minutes.
He didn't have a great game. He got called for a penalty that I was like, come on, man. But here's the deal on this team right now, and you and I have had extensive conversations both on and off the air about this. They went on the road, and they had 4 possible points they could get. They got 3. Okay, cool. Got 3 points. I'm tired of having the conversation about, well, you know what? Considering how they played to start the game against Anaheim, it feels good to get a point. No, that's not okay right now. That's not okay. It's not. They should have beaten Anaheim. They are better than Anaheim. They have more talent than Anaheim. That is the problem with this team of there is a sense of complacency that it's okay to just come away with a point. Where you are in the standings right now, you can't do that. You have to get the 2 points. You have to get that extra point. They should have won it in overtime. They had a golden opportunity in overtime and didn't bury it. So that's the frustrating part of the Nashville Predators. And they're talking about during the broadcast, David Poile saying that he's open for business and all of that and doesn't know if they're buyers or sellers and things like that. That's not good. That's not good right now to have that conversation. So I don't. Yeah, they got 3 points. Figure out a way to get 4. Turn this around, man. This is where we are. And, you know, somebody tweeted at me about telling it like it is on Twitter. Well, I'm telling it like it is. This team is continuing to be up and down and inconsistent and not play like a playoff team. You have to beat the teams you're supposed to. I expect a raucous atmosphere and these guys to play their best tomorrow against Boston. You're right. They're banged up. They got some key people out of the lineup. They do. But that's a part of it. That's why you have a minor league system. That's why David Poile has done so much to try and replenish the depth on this team. And you know what? If I've been hearing Yakov Trenin's name for years of how high they are on him.
It's been playing well.
And he has done his job. He's going to make it very difficult to be taken out of the lineup.
Him and Blackwell have really impressed.
Yes. There's a reason they're here. They're here because they're filling a spot, but you know what? They've earned that opportunity. But even them, they got to take it to another level. Because I know I speak for a lot of Preds fans when I hear, you know, them put, or when I read the quotes of the GM that, you know, he doesn't know what they're going to be yet, buyers or sellers, and you know, they're talking about it during the game on NBC of, well, that could be a great opportunity for members of the Milwaukee Admirals. There could be more guys getting called up. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to see that. I want this team that has been constructed that I feel like is capable of competing for Stanley Cups. I want to actually see them do it. They got to get this going. And losing a point, a valuable point, to a team that you should beat is not the way to do it. I know they got 3 out of 4. I'm trying to be positive, but they got to get this fixed and be consistent. And oh, by the way, they got to take care of business at home. I know Boston's coming to town. That's not going to be easy. I would have given you the speech, and I did give you the speech of when they played on the road at Boston, like, hey, you know what? If you come out of Boston with a point, that's a victory. Well, you know what? Tomorrow night, you're in a situation you got to get to. And I'm not saying they will, but you got to get to. They got to turn this thing around, Darren. They just do. I'm tired of having this inconsistent talk, and I'm tired of repeating myself over and over again, because that's what it's been this season. So that's me being honest. I'm telling it like it is. That's what we do on this show.
I know Elliot Freeman said some stuff again over the weekend, stuff that he echoed to us on Thursday. His weekly chat with us every Thursday at 1 o'clock, he said that David Poile has been shopping players around. He's not having any success right now, but it is still January, early January, and that he's been shopping players around. I don't think there's any doubt that things are not going to remain status quo. Like, they're going to have to do something. I don't know what something is, but I don't think, hey, everything is good here, is going to be the mindset going into the trading deadline.
What did he say with us last week? He said, if the people don't change, you change the people. He was talking about the lineup.
Yeah.
And that's where he's at right now. And it's a bad place to be. It's not where he wants to be. But unfortunately, that's where they are. And, you know, they had the quotes up there that he said he's not looking at making a coaching change right now. I don't think that is a part of the entire equation. It's, as we said when we got on this last week, it's everybody. It's everybody in that room, David Poile included. It's everyone that takes a share of the blame, and I think they all are. They all are feeling the pressure that they got to turn this around and get this fixed. And they're not that far out of it. I mean, we've seen this before.
Oh, one heater, and you're
right.
You get on one heater.
We
and
saw
you're...
it 3 years ago when they were about this time at the midway point. The record was similar, and what did they do? They went to the Stanley Cup final.
Well, that was, but the regular season basically played out the same. They were last in. But then they got on the heater in the playoffs.
They got in.
I'm talking about you get on a heater now where you string together, I don't know, 5-6 wins in a row. You're right back in the thick of the standings.
I agree. And that's what I want to see them do, is get it fixed now. Don't wait until the deadline. Don't wait until the end of the regular season. Get it done now. And I feel like they're capable of doing it. It's just putting it all together. And maybe having some of these young guys that are in the lineup, like a Yakov Trenin and Blackwell and Tenorti and Carrier, coming in hungry, not wanting to give that spot up. If I'm them, I don't want to be a fill-in. I want the job. I want to take the job. So that can motivate some of the guys that maybe need it right now.
Roman Josi needs some help.
He doesn't need motivation.
He can't do it by himself. And by the way, there is a line that has been consistent and really good all year, and that's Smith, Grimaldi, and Bonino. And, oh, by the way, the other lines need to give them some help too, because that's been your third line, and your third line's not supposed to, you know, tow the freight, right?
Right.
And they've done that. They've had a tremendous season. They continue to shine. By the way, all three of them with 2 points last night. We'll come back, wrap up Monday's edition of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. Well, thanks, Gullick. We tend to agree with you. Kyle wants to weigh in on our conversation before the break. Kyle, what's up?
Hey, guys. I feel like I'm the only one in town that feels this way about the Preds, and maybe I am, but I'm just not worried about them yet. And the season is so long, and I know that, you know, the St. Louis Blues, you know, never happens, but we're not at the bottom of the league. We have a couple games in hand, and I just feel like they know that. I mean, last year they went in and got whooped in the first round and fought for their, you know, field position in the standings the whole season. And I just don't think they know that all they have to do is get in. And I just feel like it all depends on who gets hot at the end. I'm just not worried our roster's good enough. And if Poile is shopping players, you know, maybe he's shopping Pekka, because I love Pekka. He doesn't need to go anywhere, but the goaltending's been a problem based on what, you know, people have said. So, you know, that'll turn around too. I'm just not worried about it, and I don't know if anybody else feels the same way I do.
I think there's people that feel that way, but I think obviously it's natural, Kyle. Thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it. For there to be, you know, people to be more on the panic side, more on the negative side. That's just natural fan reaction. I can assure you that David Poile is not shopping Pecorine. That is definitely not one of the players. Has the goaltending been great this year? No. Can it be better? Sure.
Yeah.
By the way, if it wasn't for UC Soros last night, and I know that's another thing that gets kind of old, right? Constantly saying they're playing well. But it, truly, if you watch last night's game, I mean, first period could have easily been 4-1 Anaheim. Easily.
Absolutely.
Easily. They were outshot 21-4. UC was really good. He kept them in that game. He was a big part of why they got a point. Does the goaltending have to be better? Yes. Does the play in front of them have to be better? Yes. Here's another idea. How about stay out of the penalty box? Just a thought. Just throwing that out there randomly. Maybe just stay out of the penalty box, because the penalty kill, especially with a lot of key guys that are part of the penalty kill that are not in the lineup right now, they haven't been doing a very good job of killing off penalties, giving up power play goals left and right. How about stay out of the box? How about don't spend a period trying to kill off penalties? Just a thought. Just throwing that out there. That would probably help your goaltending too, not to have the other team with an extra man. Or two, like in the case last night, where they got a little bit of a 5-on-3. Maybe do that. Maybe that helps the goaltending. Once again, these are just random thoughts. Just throwing that stuff out there.
I completely agree with you. Special teams just has to get better. And by the way, Pecorine has a no-move clause.
Yeah, that's, I just said, that's not even anything to discuss.
Yeah, Adam Vingen just texted me.
All right, that will do it for our show today. Man, that was fast. That was a quick 4 hours. We'll be right back at it again tomorrow. Speaking of the Predators, we'll be at Bridgestone Arena. They have a tilt against the Bruins. We look forward to talking to you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Have a great day. We'll see you then.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.